Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. They hit the shot. It was all right, cool, good shot. And we called timeout. I'm just, I didn't even listen to the play, to be honest with you. Yo, give me the ball.
Welcome back to another episode, Not Even D2. I'm your host, KJ Allison, here with my boy and co-host, Naruto Perdomo. Another great episode for you guys today. But first, bro, Final Four weekend, games on Saturday, Florida Auburn and Houston Duke, going to be crazy games. I think you sent me something. It was like the only time all one seeds have been in the Final Four since, do you remember the year? It was just the second time ever, but that's insane.
In a long time, brother, man, a long time.
But just tell me your predictions, bro, because we started this episode with Trey talking about predictions. So just talk to me about who you got in the Final Four.
So it says the what I sent you on is Boardroom posted it for the second time since 1985, all four number one seeds, Auburn, Duke, Florida, and Houston, have advanced to the NCAA Men's Basketball Final Four. The previous instance occurring in 2008, which is crazy. So it's only happened twice in what the 40-year existence of, you know, the NCAA March Madness, which is, you know, crazy to think about. My predictions, you asked, bro, low-key, I like Tahad Pettiford on Auburn, bro, but I don't really like how Auburn plays. I don't know, something about it. I just don't really like it.
I heard someone compared to like a good AAU program.
I don't know, bro. It's like, when I was watching Auburn play against Michigan, like, I wanted, like, Michigan to win low-key, bro. I don't know what it was. It was just, like, the way Auburn was playing. I just don't like the way they play. It's weird.
No, they're kind of cocky, but, bro, I kind of like it to flip on you. I like that style. Like, Janai Broome getting a block, he doing that. I like that, Selly. Todd Pettiford is like that, bro. I'm going with Auburn, but you going Florida?
I'm going Florida. I feel like, you know, it's going to be a good matchup for the bigs. I know that, you know, Janai Broome, he's really tough, but, you know, the bigs on Florida are good as well. And also, like, you know, Walter Clayton is going to challenge the guards at Auburn to guard and stuff like that. But Auburn is just so, like, experienced older team, bro, that, you know, it's going to be a tough game for Florida. And then Houston Duke going to be a goodie.
Bro.
I think Coach Kelvin Sampson got some up his sleeve, you know, for Duke. You know, Houston's a really, like, an older team, and, you know, Duke is pretty young too, but, you know, they've shown they're ready for that moment as well. So I'm gonna say Florida Houston in the chip game. And then the chip, I think Houston might run with it, bro. I think Houston might run with it.
Yeah, bro. Houston, like, shout out to Coach Sampson, because, bro, there's not many coaches that get their teams to consistently play hard, bro. Like, it's every single year. It's not just this year that they're locking teams up or something like that. Like, every single year, Houston is known for, like, just getting after it on defense and turning that into instant offense. And, bro, he's actually so smart. Like, I didn't even know this during the game, but people were mad at number three on Purdue, Smith, the guard on Purdue.
Braden Smith.
Yeah, because he jumped that out of bounds play, the final play. Mm-hmm. But I seen it, like, a video that he was like, that's Purdue's game plan. Like, they were doing that the whole game to just jump the inbounds. So Sampson didn't switch anything the whole entire game, bro. And then the last play implements that new play that got them the game winner, bro. That's stuff that, like, people still probably don't even know he did, but that's real coaching right there, and you could see that how he get his team ready to go. So I like that pick, but I'm gonna go. I said it in the last episode. I think Duke is the best team in the country. You said it. Cooper Flagg is OD. Everybody's saying that though. But yeah, bro. I think this Final Four, and people are saying, like, we don't, like, this isn't March Madness. Any basketball fan, like, you want to see the best teams, the best players, the best coaches on that platform, bro. I don't care to see an 11 seed just for the storyline. I want to see Cooper Flagg going against a number one seed. I want to see Walter Clayton going against a number one seed. Like, that is, like, casuals probably want to see the storyline of March Madness, but real basketball fans, you definitely want to see the best teams.
Bro, the hoops have been crazy, bro. I'm pretty sure it might have been the Michigan Auburn game, bro. It was like, bro, these guys are just hitting shots, bro. It's just like when they need like a clutch shot or like a clutch stop. Not even stop, bro. We just need like a clutch bucket, three floater, like tough take, bro. They just get it done, bro. They get it done. And it's like, it's just crazy, like a chess match I'm watching out there.
Like that Walter Clayton shot at the end, bro. He caught it at like inside the paint, took a few dribbles and fading back, bro. Like, yo, the art of basketball is just continuing to expand. And old heads don't want to hear that the game is better. But, bro, it's literally right in front of you. Like, people were mad at Bron for saying Giannis would score like 250 in the 70s, bro. There's no argument. Like, nobody in the 70s can even think about what Giannis is doing. But, bro, those are good predictions. But we got to talk about today's episode. We got Trey Alexander. Trey, one of them ones, bro. I'm looking at it. It says he's 5'10", bro. He might be a little shorter than that. But any 10th player of the year this past year, which is crazy, playing D2, started his career at St. Rose. I feel like this kind of when I heard about him just being from Albany, knowing that he was like kind of having a good year as a freshman at St. Rose, spent 2 years there, then went to Florida Southern, crazy jump from Albany to Florida, had a good year there, and then spent the last 2 years playing at Pace back in the NE10, bro, and like dominated first team last year, and then this past year that just concluded NE10 player of the year, first ever Pace University player to accomplish that. But I mean, bro, we had a really good conversation. Like he was saying after the episode, like, y'all got my number, let's chop it up whenever. It was good vibe. So just talk to me about this episode, gang.
Yeah, definitely a great episode, bro. And you're 100% right. He was like, yo, y'all got it. I really like doing this. Y'all got a good thing going. Let's do it again, you know. And it's cool to create that type of vibe, bro, honestly, where we're just, you know, it's just me, because me and you will talk just like we are now on the phone outside this pod stuff, you know what I mean? And just chop it up. And even when, you know, I'm around your friends or you're around mine or we're around each other's families, like, it's kind of the same vibe. We're just like having conversations and just, you know, including people in our space. And I think that's what we did with Trey. We just kind of, you know, talked about his journey. And his journey is a great one, bro. Like you said, he started at St. Rose where, you know, they weren't really the best NE10 program in the country. I mean, you know, best Division II program in the country, not the best in NE10. But Trey was like a bright spot for them, bro. Like, I mentioned Hagan a lot through this episode. Hagan Foley, basketball player here at Utica. And, you know, that's my boy. And we were in Florida. I had told them that we're going to, you know, plan to interview Trey. And I think I had mentioned this in the episode, how like Hagan was talking highly about him, but he really was, bro. Like, he was like, yo, Trey, like, my freshman year had a big impact on me. And he was a freshman just like me. Like, he was our best player. He was the coach. He was the athletic trainer. he was all of it for our program, bro. And he really, like, you know, getting us in the gym early, getting up shots, you know what I'm saying? Just being, you know, who Trey is really affected Hagan. And I wanted to make sure Trey heard that, bro, because Hagan is now doing big things in college, or just finished up doing big things in college basketball. You know what I mean? So great episode, bro. Trey had a great career at all three spots. You know what I mean? He's a winner, bro. And I could really see him being a great head coach too in the future, bro. Honestly, I gotta make sure that we stay tapped in with him, bro.
Bro, try and get on Trey's staff.
Nah, but word.
Nah, what you said, like, a lot of what makes Trey great, like, I don't know him like that, but I'm assuming, like, as a person, as a hooper, he just is natural. Like, he said that a lot in the episode. Like, he's letting the game come to him. He's not switching how he acts in front of anybody. Like, it's just always going to be Trey Alexander, bro. And looking at his stats, bro, like, averaging 16 and almost 9 assists, bro, that is crazy. Like, he really dominated in the NE10. And as a small guard, like, you have to be able to do everything on the court. And that's what he was doing, bro. Like, definitely deserved NE10 player of the year. I don't think there was any argument, but if there is, he definitely proved that he was the NE10 player of the year. I mean, but it was a really good conversation. We talked about a lot with bro, you know, growing up in Long Island. I'm still not jacking it over upstate New York, committing to different colleges, what the reasons for those were. And then now, like, what the future of Trey is, like you said, head coaching, he has a bright future regardless of what path he chooses. So
yeah,
definitely a good episode. Make sure to subscribe, like this episode. Go follow us at Not Even D2. We appreciate all the support. And let's hear from Trey Alexander. We are here with our guy, Trey Alexander. How you doing today, fam?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Dylan, bro. Appreciate you getting on. What you been on today?
Appreciate you guys for having me. I've been chilling, bro. We're on spring break right now, so obviously we lost before, so I got nothing but time right now doing school and whatnot. So,
I feel that. Yo, so we was talking before we got on air. You a basketball savant. Just talk about maybe who you're rooting for in March Madness. Let's have this. I don't want this to come out and then I see on social media like Trey jacking somebody else. So tell me who you're rooting for, stuff like that.
I'm going to be honest with you right now. I don't root for nobody, but my bracket, I do have Houston or Florida winning. So I'm going to go with one of the two. It's one of them, but probably Houston.
Yo, Ruda, I want to hear yours too, because I don't want the same thing to be. I don't want to hear, I told you, bro. Like, I want to hear on air who you got.
Bro, I mean, I got Houston winning, but I feel like the better question would be, like, who are some teams that you think can go far, like Sweet 16, Elite Eight, like dark horse teams? And I feel like, bro, Drake is that kid, Bennett Sturts, is nasty, bro.
Drake, definitely had 16.
Yeah, they, this is a cold take. I already told y'all, but I'm jacking the SEC is whack, bro. I'm not jacking them getting 14 teams in. Yo, you're rewarding, like, Texas, who was 6-12 in conference. Like, I don't think that's valid, bro. But who I'm rooting for, I got Bama winning it at all. But I also think, you're not jacking Bama?
They're going to be done soon.
I heard. I respect it. But I want to talk a little about your season. I want to start at the buzzer beater against Assumption, bro, because that was a crazy, great, crazy game. So you hit the three in the corner to tie it. You came down, but y'all called the timeout. So just talk to me about, like, your process, what you was thinking when you first got the ball, and then also what the, like, play was coming out of the huddle, all that motions hitting the buzzer. Just talk to me about that game.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. They hit the shot. It was all right, cool, good shot. And we called timeout. I'm just – I didn't even listen to the play, to be honest with you. Yo, give me the ball. Once they weren't pressuring, I saw I had the ball. Yeah, I was good. It was just me and him, and my team was going to live and die with me taking that shot, like, at the end of the day. So it was a tie ball game. It is what it is.
So you feel like in the NE10, are there any like specific teams or like player matchups that you always look forward to or not?
I think that's the beauty about the NE10. Like, there's no days off. There's no games where it's like, oh, just a cup. Like, every game I got to get up for and get in battle. So, like, for me personally, my last year, it wasn't no specific matchup or team that I wanted to play. I just wanted everybody. Like, I had to play everybody because it's my last year. There's no other way to go out. So I had to get that kind of thing from everybody.
Yo, so we was talking to a kid who plays at St. Bonaventure, and he was saying, like, if you're not guarding the best player on the floor, then there's no way you can consider yourself the best player. And I know you averaged 3 steals. You've been all league, all defensive team. So is that something, like, you take pride in, or you just, like, talk to me about your process on the other end of the court?
Nah, for sure. I think growing up, I've always played for defensive-minded coaches, and I've got the luxury of playing for coaches that as long as you guard, you get the luxury offensively. But for me, like, where I'm from, we got a lot – I'm from New York, obviously. It's a lot of park basketball. It's a lot of one-on-one. So you and your man, that's kind of personal every time. But for me, in this program I'm in now, we're defensive-minded. So, like, if I have to guard the best player, I have to guard the best player, and that's what we do. We got a bunch of good defenders, but – obviously, those guard matchups I take on. It is what it is.
Nah, yeah. Yo, one thing. So you from Long Island. I got a teammate who's from Long Island. He'd be telling me, like, yo, there's good bump in L.I. I don't really be jacking it, but just talk to me about growing up in Long Island, the hoop scene out there, because there are some good hoopers that come out of L.I., but I'm not jacking it over, like, the city, Section 2, where I'm from, upstate New York. So talk about that.
Upstate don't even count. That's for one. I'm a little biased. I'm from Long Island, so I'm going to say we have them. Obviously, the city and you guys might have more just because there's more people in general. But we have, like, if we get our five and you five, like, we're cool. We're good. We're very comfortable. We're very comfortable, like, at the end of the day. Because we go out there to play. Like, we have to go to the city for AAU or whatever it is. So we go out there to play. But obviously, it's died down just a little bit nowadays. But back then, it was the same thing wherever you go. You got to play everybody. You see the same faces. Everybody know each other. So it get like that for sure.
Nah, it definitely does get like that because, you know, we talked about it before the episode started. But what's his last name? Zakai Zegler or Ziegler?
Ziegler.
So he's from Long Island. He's putting on. Obviously, you was killing this year for the NE10. So Long Island basketball definitely getting put on right now, gang.
For sure. We got guys that's up there in all types of levels. So.
OD. I wanted to bring something up real quick, bro. This is kind of like straying away from the questions, but you talked about how like you were in the huddle and that like you knew you were about to shoot that last shot. Like there was whatever coach drew up, like, nah, I'm shooting it. And I was talking to one of my teammates, like Hagen, he played with you at St. Rose. And he told me like basically like his freshman year, like your freshman year, you were the team, you were the leader, you were the coach, you were the everything for St. Rose back then, right? And it was especially impressive just to hear that because, like, you're coming in as a young player and, like, basically leading that group, calling the plays. And St. Rose at the time, I mean, they closed down. They weren't really, like, doing much, but you put the team on your back. So I'm kind of wondering where you got this, like, kind of mindset from of being, like, a leader, just real overall true PG. I want to hear that.
Honestly, once again, growing up, it was always preached to me that in order for you to be a good player in general, but especially the point guard, you have to lead. So for me, that's the only thing that's on my mind 9 times out of 10, leading and taking care of the ball. So it was kind of natural for me. I'm an older brother. I'm the oldest brother. So like leading is just natural for me. I'm usually the only man in the house growing up most of the time. So like I have to lead and it just became natural. So when I got to basketball, I'm doing this for fun. Like this isn't my job. This is fun for me. So leading is just a part of it. That just happens naturally. And for me going in, I didn't think of myself as a young guy. I felt like I was very prepared for college hoops, college culture, whatever it was. Like I felt like I was very prepared. I knew what type of school I was going to. Before I got there, they were 6-22 or something like that. And I went in there with the mindset, we're not having that again. We're turning this thing around. No. That's kind of really what it was. So it wasn't anything about, oh, I think I'm better than this person. I'm better. It was just me trying to do what I can to make sure we get wins.
Yeah, so, bro.
I'm looking at the bios and your bio, I should say, and I see team captain. Yo, I don't care how good you are, nothing. If I'm a senior, I'm not jacking a freshman being my team captain, bro.
Bro, at the time, we voted on captains.
Yeah.
I was voted for by our teammates. Like,
yeah.
That's wild.
But I'm the point guard too. So at the end of the day, I got the ball in my hand. Naturally, we have to listen to each other. And I'm an alpha in a way. So like I don't change the way I am around anyone. No matter how old you are, young you are, whatever. I'm not changing the way I am. So for that, it was kind of natural. Like it just happened. They voted for me.
Bro, I mean, you know, like I know for a fact, like you had an effect on Hagen. You know what I'm saying? Like Hagen, now this year, second team all conference player for Utica. But he's told me, like, bro, I used to be in the gym with Trey in the morning, 6 a.m., getting workouts with him. I would just guard him in practice, and he would fry me, but I would learn so much just by being around him. So you definitely had an effect on dudes, bro. I hope you know that.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I talk to Hagen all the time nowadays, too. Like, I'm glad he got to go somewhere, hoop, and have a good year, good years, plural. So I'm glad I could be a help for somebody.
For sure, bro, for sure. I mean, you talk about leading the team. You were top three in the country, bro. Number two in assists per game, 8.7 per game. So you definitely leading the troops, bro. I'm not going to lie. Nah, but I was going to say, too, watching NE10 the last couple years, like Pace, like always a solid program, like always bringing in really good players. And like last year, you guys were 18-11, right? Like I said, solid record. But this whole season, you guys were killing, bro. I mean, at the time when we wrote the questions down, you guys were 23-6. You guys were ranked in the top 25 since week two of the season. So what did you feel like clicked for the group this year? And what do you think the mindset was throughout the year?
So a lot of people don't know. I missed the whole preseason with a broken foot. Mm-hmm. I got hurt in the summer. I broke my foot. I came back sooner than I was supposed to, but I missed the whole preseason. And then there was a lot of questions around our team coming into the year if we would be good or not. We lost a lot. We lost the first team all-leaguer. Like, we lost a bunch of vets. We lost a lot of guys. But for us, it just happened naturally in terms of we all had the same goal in mind. We never strayed away from that goal. And that's what we tried to work towards every day. So the little things didn't matter. We had 13 guys. So as much as a big team will help, we had less egos to manage, less minds to manage, less emotions to handle. Like, so for us, we never let anything get in the way of the goal. And we just kept taking things day by day. So even when we were ranked, it was like, all right, cool, we're ranked. That's all fine and dandy. But we need to take this day by day, especially being in the league we're in. So for us, every day was a practice. Every practice was a war. Everybody had the same mindset. Yo, we need to win the day. We need to win the week. We need to win the day. Win the week. Win the day. Win the week. So, like, for us, it just happened naturally just because everybody had the same goal in mind.
Word. When I was looking at, like, your stats and stuff, I noticed that, like, I feel like after the Christmas break, like, you started going crazy. Like, I'm looking at right now, you had 7 20-point games after the break. You had your season high at 35. Like, you started going crazy. But it makes sense, like, if you didn't play all preseason, then, like, you're just starting to get your flow back. But I'm wondering if there was, like, a mindset switch when you started getting a conference play, or, like, what went into that scoring increase?
For me, I just play the game as it comes to me. So that, I think, just happened naturally. Like, I'm usually efficient. I don't take many bad shots. So that just happened naturally as teams realize they start to play me for my playmaking ability. It was more of they had to pick and choose. And some games it would be, all right, we're going to try to – he got to score rather than pick us apart with his passing or whatever it is. So – like, it just happened naturally. I got to my spots. I ended up having to take a little more shots than I usually do, but it was fine because it didn't change anything within our team. Nobody had to adjust to anything differently. So it just worked out in that manner because I don't force anything or try not to force anything. I just started taking shots that were open 9 times out of 10, and it just, if they're falling, they're falling.
I mean, watching the film, you look pretty poised out there, bro. I'm not going to lie. Like, you do a little bit of everything, right? Like passing. KJ mentioned the steals, so playing defense, shot making, post ups. So, how do you feel like your game like developed over time from like freshman year at St. Rose to all the way like final year at Pace?
The game slowed down for me. Like, I grew up a scorer, and then I went to prep school, and I was surrounded by a lot better players, and that's when my point guard traits really were enhanced or came out. It's not that I had to learn to be a point guard. They just came out because I was around better players. I didn't have to shoot the ball all the time kind of thing. So really, my game was molded in two different ways in terms of I have scoring ability and passing ability. But from freshman year, I used to shoot a lot more threes than I shoot now. My primary way of scoring was threes and jumpers. And then as I got older throughout the game, I learned how to really find my spots, pick my spots, know what I'm good at. And the stronger I got, it just became that much easier. I also had like a shoulder injury, so my threes became a little off. Honestly, I developed a little bit of a hitch. So mid-ranges was just natural. But coming to the three ball was a little harder to try to adjust to that. So for me, I just started picking my spots and finding ways to be effective without necessarily having to always shoot the three like I used to. And that really just... it elevated me to an extent. Like, if I'm shooting threes, I probably wouldn't have the same type of year, I would say. I hope I would, but I probably wouldn't just because the way my game is molded right now is rim pressure. Like, so,
yeah. I mean, you need a lot of skill as, like, a quote-unquote smaller guard to, like, be able to get to the rim or even, like, shoot those post-ups, bro, over tall defenders, because I'm assuming they're going to throw their best defender, or I'm hoping they're going to throw their best defender on you every night that – it's probably like a wing or something like that. So for you to get that off, that's super tough, gang. I'm not going to lie.
Well, I show wings every night. Like, there's never anything guarding me for the most part. So, but for me, I'm strong enough and I know how to play out the post. So that doesn't change anything in my game. I just got to find a way to create that space, which is obviously natural when you do it a bunch.
Yeah. I mean, like you said, too, using that strength, you know, watching Jalen Brunson every night, I feel like that's how he's dominating a lot of – obviously he has skill, but – he's, like, putting his shoulder into, like, these bigger wings' chests and just creating so much space.
He's not the fastest. I'm pretty fast, but I'm not the fastest. I'm still strong at the end of the day, so I had to find that balance. Like, that's when the game slowed down for me is where I could play with my poise and change the speed and pick my spots.
Yeah. Now, since Ruta mentioned like Jip Brunson, are there any like NBA players that you was watching trying to model my game after his, or people that you, today you're watching like, I like his film, let me take some of that?
Yeah, for sure. Like, I watched a lot of college Brunson at Nova. I just watched a lot of college Brunson. I don't play like Brunson, I don't think, but I did watch a lot. Like, I learned how to be a smaller guard and create space, use my body, how to get off certain shots, whatnot. So watching him helped a lot. Like, he's not the fastest, obviously. He's not the most athletic, but he found a way to be a national player of the year contender. If he didn't win player of the year, I can't remember. But I watched a lot of college Brunson.
Nah, he was OD tough, bro. And, I mean, he talks a lot about his own preparation for games, right? Like watching film or just getting on the court before the game with his pops, right? And I'm wondering about your preparation, bro, because like you said, you're averaging, or you averaged, you're second most in the country in assists this year, 8.7 assists. So what goes into your preparation, like film? Like, I want to know about all that type of stuff.
Definitely a lot of film. But I watch a lot of basketball outside of my own film. So I think that helps me too. Like, I'm seeing different things that I might not see in a game, but if I so happen to see it in a game, it's going to be a natural reaction to it. Like, I mean, this year, like, a lot of people tried to drop and go under. So that's when I started shooting more, like you mentioned before, because one of my best shots, if not my best, is my floater. I have pretty good touch and whatnot. So if I get to my floater, I'm good. So you're dropping and under, but we set low ball screens. So you're going under at the free throw line. I'll shoot a floater from the free throw line. It doesn't have to be a jumper. So for me, like, I had to navigate a couple different defenses and trying to find ways to get my teammates the ball, but also make the right reads at all times. And it's just like, the more you play, the more you do. I've been playing since I was 4 years old, obviously. So the more you play and the more you see different things, different defenses, different people, you just start picking up on things and it just becomes natural.
Word. One quick thing I want to talk about before we go to break, but I don't know if this is like a sensitive topic, but like, you didn't have your like best game to go out against Stack. I was wondering if they were doing anything like special to you. You just didn't have it. Like, what was going on that day?
Nah. I mean, Stack plays a little differently. They're up tempo. They press all game. Obviously they key on you, but they don't do anything like deny or anything like that. I just think the way we had to play that game, we got open shots before I even had to touch it or whatever it was. So it was just the nature of the game and how it was that day. Obviously I could have did more, but it was just how that game was played that day. A lot of open threes or a lot of fast break layups, whatever it was, that's just how it was. Because I still had 10 assists at the end of the day when I did the goal. Like, I still found a way. I just didn't do enough scoring wise. So
no, that makes sense. But stay with us while we take a quick break. We're back with Trey Alexander on the Not Even D2 pod. So, like, we talked about you went to St. Rose. Now you're at Pace. But, like, you've had an interesting career kind of. Like, you started at St. Rose, spent 2 years there, I believe, and then you went to Florida Southern, which is another D2 school. And they tough. And then now you're back in the NE10 playing for Pace the past 2 years. So just, like, tell the viewers a little about your college career, what the reasons were for like moving schools, and maybe like what you learned about yourself in that process. Just tell the viewers a little about Trey Alexander.
Honestly, going to St. Rose was one of the best things that happened to me because I got to be a young player and experience a lot. Like, a lot of people don't get to play when they're young. So I got to play nearly the whole game and start on a point as a point guard in a great conference as a young kid. So like, going there was perfect. Obviously, like, this was before the portal was really the portal, but I left because I just wanted a little more culture, and it's no disrespect to anything at St. Rose or any coaches or anything at St. Rose. I just wanted a little more of a culture, and I don't think we were on the same page with that, so I decided to leave and go to Florida, which was another great move, I feel like. I have no regrets with anything I did in my career, so.
Yeah, who were other schools that were reaching out to you in the portal, if you remember?
Oh, I visited Wofford. I had a couple, like, Niagara hit me up, Mac hit me up. You get a couple of D1s that'll hit you up. I don't think any of them officially offered me. After I committed, they had called back, and I'm like, no, I'm committed. But I had a bunch of D2s from all over the country. At the time, I was top five in the country in assists, and I still averaged 13, 14 points, and I was shooting a three at the time too. So it wasn't uncommon, but as a young kid, it could get a little bit overwhelming. Like a few schools in the E10 hit me back up, and it was just, I wanted to get out the region. That was my goal for transfer. I'm like, all right, if I'm going to leave, I'm going to get out the region. And when Florida Southern offered me, it was perfect because of the style of play, the location, the conference, the culture, the history. It was perfect. It was perfect. And then I really came back here. I've always had a relationship with Pace coaches. And one of my best friends, Brian Powell, he was here and we played prep school together. So I came back, really play with him, be comfortable, be close to home, have a chance to still do something special and still win as we've done, obviously. But yeah, I regret nothing in my career. I had an interesting journey per se, but I can't thank everybody enough, to be honest.
Bro, I mean, it's all in God's plan at the end of the day. So, you know what I'm saying? You end of this year, player of the year in the NE10, OD tough. But I'm wondering, I have one quick thing I wanted to ask you, bro. Bringing up Hagan again, he talked about when he transferred from St. Rose, how like coming to Utica was like a real like nerve-wracking experience because like he didn't really know anyone on the team really. And like he's coming into a new situation and like he feels like the transfer portal, it's like, it's tough coming in as a transfer. And I'm wondering for you, like obviously you're confident in your abilities on the court and also as a leader, but I'm wondering, did you ever feel like the nerves like coming into his new situation or not? It was just, you were trying to
get a little bit naturally, like you're going to a new place. You have to get used to things. You got to get used to the area, the team, the people, like everybody. You got to get used to everything. So it takes a little bit of a learning curve in that aspect. Like we'll be picking up or running anything in practice, whatever we're doing. Everybody else know it, but I don't yet. So like things like that. But my teammates at both schools that I've transferred to are just, they were really welcoming. They make you feel like you've been there forever. When I went to Florida, though, I also stayed there in the summer before I got there. Mm-hmm. So I was already around the area, the guys. So it was just easier to navigate in that way. And then coming to Pace is obviously, like, I knew most of the guys here too. So for me, I had a different experience because I was lucky to go to places that I was already comfortable. I had the chance to get comfortable early before school or the season started.
Word. Yo, what city is Florida Southern in?
Lakeland. It's like 30, 40 minutes from Tampa, like an hour. Word. From there.
Did you like the school environment, going out, stuff like that?
Yeah, I loved it. I loved everything about Florida. I didn't leave for any reason. It was just, I wanted to make sure my career was going to be good. Like, I just didn't want to chance anything. And at the time, I chose to come to Pace. Like, it wasn't no hard feelings, no nothing. I loved Florida.
Word. I mean, your career definitely ended on a high note, bro. You've, like, forever stamped in Pace University, the NE10. You was the first Pace University player to be NE10 Player of the Year, which is crazy accomplishment, bro. Congrats to you. But I'm kind of curious, like, what were your emotions being named Player of the Year? And then, like, who deserves the credit or who deserves a shout-out for how Trey Alexander got to where you are right now?
I think my family, obviously, like, they raised me to be the man I am. They raised me to be – they've got me to places I needed to get to in terms of practices, games, trainings, whatever it was. My family, first and foremost, for sure. And then I think all the teammates and coaches that I've played for and encountered have helped me in every which way possible. I don't think people really realize how much impact those people have on you, even when you're young. Like, so for me, like, I've always been a little thoughtful and grateful. Even as a young kid, I was always thoughtful and grateful. So I took little bits and pieces from everyone, and that's helped mold in my game. Like, so I give credit to everybody that I've honestly ever touched and encountered and learned anything from, talked to, anything. I give that credit to everybody.
Word. I mean, gratitude is a great thing to practice, bro. Honestly. So it's cool. It's cool that you're acknowledging that. Who are some other players though that you played against this year that you were like, yo, like these dudes are very tough, like in the NE10. I'm kind of wondering about that.
This year alone?
Yeah. Or maybe if you have some, actually, hold on. We have a starting five. Yeah, we have a starting five. We got to save that.
Yeah, this year alone, damn, it was tough. Southern Connecticut had a guard that was tough, Alvin Vargas. Obviously, he was one of the top scorers in the league. He was like right behind me in assists. Snoo had a kid before he got hurt. Ray Daniels, he was good. I'm trying to think who else really. This year's blur, bro. trying to think of the teams now. Yeah, I don't know. It's tough. Like, league is so spread out.
It's probably not like any one player is just like, oh, shiz. But like, as a collective team, they just all like nice.
St. Mike's had a kid, CJ Cruz from Florida. He was tough. They had a down year, but he was like their bright spot in a sense. Obviously, he was a senior, but yeah, like every team has one player that you could say is maybe two, maybe three, shit, maybe four. Like, you could
say. Not a word. That's definitely an interesting take, because it's like out here in the like E8, like D3, like I feel like we have like a couple, like a four or five guys that are like, oh man, they could be in the running, you know, for like really good players, like best players in the conference, you know what I'm saying? But it's kind of cool that you guys are spread out like that in any 10, honestly. But yeah, we gonna end it straight like this, bro. You obviously had like a great career, both at, you know, St. Rose in Florida, and now just finishing up at Pace. Like we mentioned, you know, any 10 player of the year, that's big time. So KJ and I want to hear what's next for Trey Alexander, bro.
Hey, for me, like we was talking about before I got on air, obviously right now I'm pursuing and navigating a couple of things, but overseas, going overseas and playing pro is obviously one of those things that's high up on the list. I really do want to get into coaching. I think I have a really good passion and keen passion for coaching. So that's also something that I'm trying to think about and navigate with what I want to do, really. And then I'll be finishing my master's in data science, hopefully this summer. So a few different avenues that I could try to navigate and go through. But for right now, honestly, I'm just decompressing from the grind of the 6-7 month season and relaxing, taking it all in. And then I'll rekindle or recap whenever I have to. But for right now, I'm just relaxing and taking away in all my options.
No, that's tough, bro. I could definitely see you being a good coach. You just from this convo, I know you well spoken, but also you averaged 16 and 9 assists, bro. That not many people could do that. So you definitely seeing things that like most players not really seeing. But we're gonna end this episode with a rapid fire starting 5 edition. So let us know you're ready for rapid fire.
I'm ready.
All right. First rapid fire question. So you went to 3 different schools, and I want you to rank the areas of the 3 different schools, like what you like. So let's say you enjoyed Florida or Albany, like, you know.
Easy. Florida. I was in Lakeland, Florida. That's first. Albany, New York is probably going to be second. And then Pace, I'm in Pleasantville right now. That's probably last, to be honest.
Hey, you don't like Westchester, bro? You're not a fan?
Not a Westchester fan.
That's funny, bro. There's some good spots out there. Like White Plains is cool. You ever been out there?
Yeah, that's 15 minutes away. So I just got a ticket out, a parking ticket. Parked for 10 minutes, but whatever. But upstate, once you go farther than Westchester, though, it gets real bad. So next.
Damn, he throwing shade on all of the gigs.
Nah, he is. I'm gonna just act like he didn't say that.
All right, so next rapid fire question, bro. Like I said, you went to 3 different schools, so you've had a lot of different teammates, and I always like to, you know, ask this question to our guests. Who are some of the funniest teammates that you ever played with?
Yo, funniest? I'm sitting one right now. Christian Adams. His nickname is Chicken. That should just tell you how funny he is. Kid EJ Damberville, I played with in Florida. He's unconsciously, he's unnecessarily funny just because he's a goofball. Who did I play with at St. Rose? Nah, we didn't have any funny guys there. I think those two are probably top of my list right now. Like, in just terms of funny, like, they're definitely up there.
Last rapid fire question for you, bro. Who are some artists that you were listening to during the year? Like, what does a playlist look like from the Any 10 Player of the Year?
I'm not gonna lie. In the playoffs, I only listened to one song. It was Proud of Me with Friday and Meek Mill.
That shit go crazy though.
We went on a 4-hour bus ride, and that was the only song that played. I promise you, that's the only song I listened to for the past 4 weeks.
Yo, there's no way you ain't get tired of it, bro.
I promise you, that's the only song that played. Only song that played. Nah, now, dude. I listen to a lot of Herbo. I'm a big R&B guy, I'm not going to lie. So I listen to more classic R&B, but I listen to a lot of G Herbo. Obviously, Lil Durk. And then Sue Surf, he from Jersey. Sue Surf,
tough. That's valid. And we're going to end this episode with a starting five edition. So if you're a coach, you're trying to be a coach in the future, assembling your lineup 1 through 5, who's your lineup going to be? And this edition is going to be the best any 10 players that you played against. So just tell me where they played at and what position they are. Where you
are. So this is throughout my career?
Throughout your career, yeah.
All right, my point guard, I'm going to go with
You can include yourself, too.
I mean, I could easily include myself, so I'm going to just go outside of it. So my point guard, I'm going to go Isaiah Moore. He went to Franklin Pierce. He was an N10 player of the year. He also transferred to South Alabama, averaged 18 there. He's in the G League right now. So definitely Isaiah Moore, my point guard. My center, I'm going to go with Pat Gardner. He went to St. Michael's, and then he transferred to Marist, and now he's obviously a pro. He was in the G League and doing all that and whatnot. He was in player of the year contention. If they won a few more games, he probably would have got it. He averaged like near 20 and probably 9. So, and he could shoot the 3. 6'10", could shoot the 3. My four-man is somebody I played with and against, and I'm going to put Brian Powell there. He went to Pace, obviously, but he was 2-time first team. He was a second team right at a point. Last year, he averaged 18 and 6, I think, with 3-4 assists. So, like, for him, he could post, he could shoot, he could handle, whatever it was. So, for him, I'll put him on my 4. The two-guard kind of gets tough. Yeah, the two-guard kind of gets tough. I'm going to put I'm going to go a 2-point guard lineup, to be honest, and I'm going to put Jordan Mello Klein there. He was at Bentley. Yeah, if you know, you know. He was at Bentley. He was on triple double watch every night type of thing. Like, that's who he was. But I got those two in my backcourt. I should never turn the ball over. I should have no problem with offense. Getting into offense, getting offense, whatever. And then my 3-man. Oh, man.
Damn. And tricky.
Yeah, I'm thinking of a few guys. I'm not going to lie.
The wing spots is definitely tough. Who are you thinking of?
Low key, I'm not a any 10 guy, so I could be bugging, but Matt Beck is tough.
For sure, but that was like a 2.
Okay, and Zach LaPut is also who I was thinking of.
Definitely, he's tough. My construction of a team, no, I need something different. I'm not gonna lie. it gets tough, like. Last year, they had Josh McGettigan, who some people might not respect, but I played with him at St. Rose, and he's underrated. 6'7", lanky, could shoot it, downhill, whatever it was. He went to Southern Connecticut last year, underratedly good. Obviously, Zach LaPut would be in there. He's a 2-time NBA player of the year. Why wouldn't he?
I need an answer, though, gang.
I'll put Zach LaPut in my 3.
Bro, talking about I need something different. Now he's stealing who I suggested.
It's so many people in this league that I've played. I played 4 years in the league, so I'm getting people at that.
No, that's a tough lineup, bro. Definitely, you see the mindset, the coaching gene in you, but that's going to do it for another episode. Not even D2. We appreciate you getting on, bro, and definitely hoping for the best for Trey Alexander.
Appreciate y'all. Thank y'all for having me. Y'all be safe.
Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Not Even D2.
Make sure you subscribe. Make sure you follow us on Instagram, Twitter. That's the best way to support the channel.
And all episodes released on iHeartRadio, Pandora, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. That's going to do it. And we'll see you next week on Thursday.
Yo, bro, that was a fire episode.
OD.